sound.
Two guys with no credentials.
Reviewing Rolling Stone 500.
Greatest album.
Welcome back to the Sound Logic Podcast, everyone. We're excited to have you with us. This is one of our favorite traditions, I guess. Every time we finish another 10 albums, we do a re-rank episode where Mike and I agonize over getting these last 10 albums into the order that we would prefer if we were the ones putting this list together. So you get to hear us ramble on a little bit tonight.
Ramble on!
Yep.
And since we took a fairly sizable break between the last 10 albums and these 10.
Yeah.
It's been quite a while since we've done this. So yeah, if you're new to this, this is a little different. We won't talk in depth about every album, but this is more just about our opinions. We don't really do much of the background. We just yik yak. And if you've heard us do this before, you know what happens. We do just these 10 albums compared against each other. And then we'll do our top 10 of the 90 albums we've reviewed so far. See if that's changed at all from the last time. Should we start?
Yeah. Let's pull back the curtain.
We have a shared doc, but we black it out so we're not influenced by each other's.
By each other.
Yeah. Oh, I think I made a mistake.
A mistake? Oh, no. Already.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying not to read too much. We'll talk about it. Okay. Oh, this is going to be fun. All right. So, number 90. So the 10th album was After the Gold Rush by Neil Young. And it looks as though, Ben, we, share.
Yeah.
An opinion on what we would put last. Why don't you start?
This is where we have Dusty in Memphis, Dusty Springfield's album that we knew so little about. I think if you listen to our review, you know that this place is not because we don't think that she's talented, but that it's just not our sweet spot, perhaps. And and besides Son of a Preacher Man, I think even when we did our episode review, we both kind of struggled to name what else about it was exceptional, beyond a really fantastic singer. It's not too surprising to see us both have it here at this final spot of these 10.
And a lot of times, and I know we both shared this method, I if I'm struggling, I kind of think instead of what is the best or what is the greatest, and cosmically or universally the greatest, I think, what would I want to listen to the most,
right,
through to the least, right? And this, unfortunately, was in that spot.
Yeah.
It's just not something I need to return to.
Yeah.
The 9th album, number 89, was Baduism by Erykah Badu. This is where we start to diverge a bit. Who's going first?
Go ahead.
Why don't you? Me? Okay.
Yeah.
I think Beyonce's self-titled album. This album just didn't resonate with me.
Okay.
I listened to it many times. I think I have a ton of admiration for Beyonce. I think her music in general is awesome. The music on this album was awesome. I have very little desire to go back to it. It just wasn't my. I've listened to other Beyonce music. We've already reviewed Lemonade, which I've returned to, which is very compelling. This one, great lyrics, great songwriting. It's not for me. That's it. That's all.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, I would probably.
Yeah, I'm really interested. Before you start, I'm really interested in your pick here. But go ahead.
I might say the same thing about my pick here. This is where I put AC/DC's Back in Black, which I have a lot of nostalgia for, but very little desire to go back to it. It's just not an album stylistically that fits what I listen to these days. It doesn't challenge me or make me think, oh, I wonder, you know, how they came up with that, or, you know, it's just good old rock and roll. And while I enjoyed the listen, it was not hard for me to lower it down in my ranking pretty far.
Yeah, so that takes us to the next album on Rolling Stone. Number 88 was Hunky Dory by David Bowie. Why don't you lead us off here?
This is where I have Bitches Brew, maybe the most challenging album from this list of 10. Certainly intentionally disorienting in a way that I don't know any album. Oh, I think I did say on the episode, kind of reminded me of Trout Mask Replica.
Ooh, in terms of just like, that stung a bit.
Let's push the boundaries of what is normal, maybe, or
At times, least Miles Davis knew how to write music.
Challenging for challenging's sake. And what was that?
Okay.
At least Miles Davis what?
I said at least he knew how to write music.
Yeah, that big distinction
compared to Captain Beefheart.
Absolutely, yeah. I enjoyed it a lot more than Captain Beefheart. I should say that at the top here. But again, similar to Back in Black, not one that I really feel terribly enamored by or want to return to. What'd you have at this spot?
I probably should have gone first because. Well, you'll see why in a minute. But this is where I had John Lennon, Plastic Ono Band. And I know there's a lot of people who hold this album very high. It's John Lennon's first solo album after leaving the Beatles. I think at least two of the members did an album that year. It's 1970 or 70. I think it's 70. And again, it just doesn't do a whole lot for me. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's very simple. It's simplistic is what I mean. Not simple.
Okay.
It's not one that I've really returned to much.
Yeah.
When I think about the album, I think of Working Man's Hero, which is a pretty cool tune. I don't really think about the rest. So. You should have bumped Bitches Brew up one spot because the next album on the Rolling Stone list, number 87, the seventh album is Miles Davis' Bitches Brew. And that's what I picked here. I'm almost wondering if I should have put this even lower.
Okay.
You know, if you've listened to the podcast, you know I'm a jazz fan, or at least a little more than Ben. I have a little more listening experience, and I'm a Miles Davis fan. I like Miles Davis. I don't really know a ton of his catalog, but this album is very challenging. And compared to, you know, a decade earlier with his kind of Blue album, which is one of the most popular and arguably one of the most influential jazz albums, at least from that era, this is just night and day. It's totally different. It's a totally different era for him. It's a different era for jazz. It's way more spontaneous and improvisational, more experimental, more electric sounds, a lot of things. And it's a very challenging listen. So in terms of me putting it on again, it's actually probably not something I'd listen to very frequently.
Yeah.
I don't know why I felt compelled. I felt maybe because it's Miles.
It's jazz.
I felt that I couldn't put it lower. Now I'm going, maybe I should have. But anyways, I put it where I put it. I do find it compelling, but it is, yes, it's very challenging. I find it, I know you've mentioned this too, and I find it when I can't find a melody in a song or a selection of songs, I find that hard. And I think a lot of people would. I mean, a lot of people probably wouldn't even give this the time of day.
Yeah.
A couple minutes in and go, this, I cannot find anything in this to latch on to. I'm out. And that's cool.
Yeah.
But interesting. And I want to say I admire you, Ben, for listening to this. That's one thing that that you've done with some of these jazz albums, things that are totally out of your element, things that you would probably never have listened to.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
It's reminding me of the Flight of the Conchords episode.
As a manager, Brian...
he manages.
He just manages.
Just to list off some
bands. He just manages.
Well, yeah. I appreciate you for listening.
At least I listened on an episode on a podcast where we listened to albums. At least I listened.
You could have not. You know how many people?
Yeah.
You know how many people go to a book club and don't even read the book.
Exactly. Yeah.
Come on. So we're still on the number seven. What did you have here?
All right. This is where I have, I feel like I can already feel you grimacing, but this is where I put the Doors. This is the album that I want to hold up as like what I expected the list of Rolling Stones' greatest albums to be. Stuff that I wasn't terribly familiar with, but had lots of songs that I was familiar with and is clearly great. I thought that we'd just have 500 albums. Kind of like that.
Like this, yeah.
were familiar to me in some ways, but not entirely, and, you know, had stood the test of time. So it feels a little odd to bump this one down because it fits with what I think should be on this list. Again, it's just not, preferentially, it's not what I would put here.
Not your cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea.
I will comment on the Doors a little later. The next... album on I won't say anything now. The next album on the list for Rolling Stone was the self-titled debut by the Doors.
Yep.
And I'll go first here. This is where I put There's a Riot Going On by Sly and the Family Stone. I really liked this album. It was a lot of fun. I wasn't overly familiar, and I think I need to spend a little more time to it to really differentiate some of the different songs. This has Family Affair, right? I think Family Affair was the one I was most familiar with, and that's kind of one of their big commercial singles. I'm interested in the, and we had a wonderful guest with us. I'm interested in the kind of political ideas. And one thing that was mentioned in that episode is that what Sly Stone was doing, he was trying to answer the question that Marvin Gaye asked in his album, What's Going On?
Yeah.
And the answer was, there's a riot going on. Like, things aren't right.
Yeah.
In our society, in our culture, civil rights specifically, and those issues. So, yeah, I think I'm not as familiar with this one, and that's maybe why I wouldn't come back to it. But I could see if we were to spend, you know, a few more weeks listening to all these albums, I think I could see this one moving up. It's got all the things that, you know, it's funk, it's fun, it's got horns, it's got cool guitar, lots of energy. It's good. I liked it a lot. So that's me. What did you put here? This is a number six spot.
Yeah, this is where I have Badoism. I think it was an album, and actually just today I was talking with one of our longtime listeners, shout out to my buddy Josh, who I play disc golf with, and we both said sort of the same thing. It was really lovely to listen to and great music to have on, but a few weeks away from it now, I don't feel terribly drawn back to it. Maybe we talked about while we were reviewing it that the songs don't necessarily stand out or differentiate themselves as some other albums do. And maybe that's part of the dynamic. It's got a lot of similarities to Lauryn Hill, but Lauryn Hill has sort of the radio hook element. And I found myself longing for that a little bit with Badoism. Again, talented singer, really cool album, but not one that I feel terribly compelled to revisit.
Yeah, I can resonate with some of that. Number 85, fifth album, was John Lennon Plastic Ono Band by John Lennon. And this is where I put Erica Badu's Baduism. Kind of similar to you, right in the middle. I'm really looking forward to spending more time with this album. It is so chill. It is so relaxing. I think we said things like it feels like being wrapped in a blanket. It is really, really smooth.
Yeah.
Even if you ignore, you know, how influential it was, how it kind of really set the tone for the artists in the neo soul movement as you continue through the 90s into the 2000s, even if you ignore all that and how important it is as an album, it just sounds really great.
Yeah.
Well produced, excellent talent. Again, not the genre that I always go to.
Right.
Like, we found a lot of similarities in with this and an album that came out a few years later, D'Angelo's Voodoo. A very similar feel. And that's not an album I've revisited often, if at all. Although I really, really enjoyed it when we reviewed it and I listened to it a bunch. I think I like it more, well, obviously, more than some of the other albums we've mentioned. Not one of my very favorites in this 10, but really, really cool.
Yeah,
I can't say enough good things about it. But sometimes, you know, you like something and it's good, but it's not necessarily something you'll revisit, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you have here at the five spot?
This is where I have Queen Bee. This is where I felt like putting Beyonce.
A lot higher than, not our biggest difference in our rankings on this, but
not the biggest, but
a lot higher than where I had it.
A lot higher than where you had it. I did not like this as much as Lemonade. You already referenced that, and a couple of her other albums that I am more familiar with, but I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it more than the five below. This is a middle album, and sometimes we have problems with those ones. No, it wasn't an easy one to like slide up to the top or drop to the bottom. It was kind of what I was left with after,
right?
After those easy picks.
Yeah, I hear you. Do some of that too. So that finished the number five spot. Number 484 was Back in Black by AC/DC. Why don't you go?
All right. This is where I have There's a Riot Going On. I think this is the album on this list that I feel like I need to go back and spend a bit more time with. It feels like an album that I should have enjoyed more than I actually did, given its political nature, its kind of soul funk vibes, and the conversation, to be honest. I think I always appreciate albums more when we have a guest who brings some passion to it. And I don't know if it's just a reminder to go back to it, and that's why it's this high, but I really want to spend a bit more time with it. It's here at this slot for me.
And this is where I put Hunky Dory by David Bowie. I like David Bowie.
Yeah.
The more we listen to him, let me finish. The more I listen to David Bowie, the more I really appreciate his sincerity, how genuine he is, how candid he can be,
yeah,
how different he is. And what great music he makes.
Yep.
Some of his music I've found more challenging. A Station to Station was a challenging album for me. And this was a little more easy to listen to. I think I still like Ziggy Stardust album better.
Okay.
And I think there's some more hits and more familiar tunes there. But I really like the tunes on this album. And I think, again, this is one that I want to come back to. Changes, you know, huge song.
Yeah.
I said I like Queen Bitch. Apologies if you're listening to this with little kids. We've used the B word a lot because of the songs. No, the songs and titles. David Bowie's here, number four for me. So we move to number 83, the third album on the list. This is where Rolling Stone had Dusty in Memphis by Dusty Springfield. This is where I had, so now we start repeating ones that the others already done. Right. This is where I had Back in Black. I think this is our biggest gap between.
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay, so some of what you said resonates me with. This isn't the genre that I listen to, although I do listen to a lot of rock. I don't particularly listen to this era of rock a whole lot. But one of the things you said you like about it, and I really like, or one of the things that makes me want to listen to it, is the nostalgia. It really takes me back to a very fond time in my life when you and I were working summers together, picking sweet corn. We listened to a lot of this type of music. It was on the radio a lot. It's easy to listen to. I don't play much electric guitar anymore, although I will again at some point. A lot of it's easy to play, at least the rhythm parts. I can't play like Angus Young, but I can play a little bit like Malcolm Young, the late Malcolm Young, on the rhythm guitar. So it's just a lot of fun. It's something I think I have it this high because of its familiarity more than anything else. It's very familiar. It's easy to put on. It's easier than There's a Riot Going On or, you know, even Hunky Dory for me. In fact, I would say even objectively, a lot of the albums that I've ranked lower, I think are better albums, if I can say that.
Interesting, yeah.
Just for me, this is familiar and really... Yeah. This is the big factor for me in putting this here.
This might be one of those times where you'd have it higher on your decade ranking, but wouldn't put it on your all-time
possibly
list of greatest albums. Yeah.
Yeah. And isn't this the fun about now when we do this, we sometimes get a little bit of a taste of what it would have been like to try and compile 500, you know,
even
we struggle
with
these
the voters to have to sort out your personal favorites to send in
your top 50 or whatever. Yeah. We headed off to you. What did you have at the three spot here?
This is where I have John Lennon, Plastic Ono Band. This is one that I really enjoyed. I don't know. I kind of was surprised to see it this high on this list of 10, grouping of 10. I wouldn't have just glanced at this list and immediately thought, ooh, that's the top three.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to put that at the three spot.
Right, right. But as I was shuffling them around, it really just kept rising up. And so surprise, it's here.
I like that. I like that kind of surprise. Like, you know, you're going through it going, huh.
Yeah,
I guess I did like it more than I thought.
Yeah.
So down to the last two. So number 82, Rolling Stone had There's a Riot Going On by Sly and the Family Stone. Ben, do you want to go on this one? You go first.
Sure. This is where I have Hunky Dory, and I wasn't disappointed with anything you said in your quick mentions, but I think where we differed is that this was my favorite Bowie album that we have looked at so
really?
Far.
Okay. And, cool.
So yeah, it's one I'd actually like to own. I really enjoyed it, and
that's cool, Ben.
Want to keep it sort of in my regular rotation, so it's number two.
May I give you some feedback?
Yes. Hot mic.
I am surprised. I am surprised that you put this high.
Okay.
I think based on just my assumptions on your taste and what you like and what you think of Bowie, and I was surprised to see this high. So
I will take that feedback
as a Bowie fan, and I think I was into Bowie a little bit before matters at all. I was surprised. That's really cool that you latched onto this album. I really like that. That's cool. This is where I have the Doors, so quite a bit higher. Gosh, this is a fun album for me. It makes me think of a few different things. It makes me think about Castaway with Tom Hanks singing fire around the campfire when he makes fire. It makes me think of one of your kids saying, it sounds like carnival music.
Yeah.
Spooky Halloween house music.
Yeah.
Halloween music. Yeah. I just love, I know I've talked about this probably, I love a debut album that to me sounds almost perfect. It's like you guys just, I mean, no band, you know, just meets and does a debut album like in a week. They've been playing for a while. They've done maybe indie albums or EPs or been touring for years.
Yeah.
Or playing in dives locally. So I know that's not the case, but to have a debut album that sounds so much like their sound, you know, that as they go through, their sound would evolve a bit, but this is still so, it wasn't like, well, they took the first two albums to really figure it. No, this is the Doors and it sounds great.
Yep.
And I love that. And it's a lot of fun. This is a band my wife does not prefer, which is fine.
The third time that you've mentioned that on the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know why, because it's like a short list. And I think the reason I bring it up is because there's other bands on that list that I totally understand why she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And some of them are a little cringy. This one I've always struggled to understand a bit because I think it's just really cool. Fairly easy to listen to. Maybe it's the organ. Maybe it's Jim Morrison. I don't know. Maybe it's the keyboards. Anyways, I really like this album. I love listening to this album. I listen to it quite a lot. However, there is one more album left that neither of us have talked about, which means the only thing we agreed on in these 10 is the best and the worst. The best and the worst. We agreed on both of those. So in this 10, the number one, number 81 was Rolling Stone put Beyonce by Beyonce. And Ben and I both put After the Gold Rush by Neil Young.
Yep.
So I guess we can kind of talk about this in tandem. So I guess I'll ask you a question first. What is it about Neil Young and about this album that makes you put it first in these 10?
I'm sure there's some cultural bias. The legislation to have a certain amount of Canadian content probably plays a role in this ranking. But I really like it. It's an enjoyable one. It's an album that I own and have owned for a little while, and given that very specific criteria that I usually do these rankings with, and that's which one do I want to listen to most again, this one was easy to put at the top.
There is something, I've used this word a few times on this recording here, there's something that resonates with me here on this album. If it's the acoustic guitar playing, if it's the lyrics, the song format, the way he sings, I don't know, but it just feels so, again, comfortable, familiar, all these words. Some of it's a little nostalgic too, although I'd say some of these songs I'm less familiar from, you know, way back than some of the other songs like on Harvest or some of his other big hits. I think some of these are ones I've come across more recently, like in the last 5 or 10 years. But I think I said when we reviewed this, which was what we did last week, to me, there's something very special about these songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't totally put my finger on it, but it just feels very special. If I'm looking at, you know, The Doors, Back in Black, even Hunky Dory, I think I could listen to some of those albums as much as this. They're really good. I like them. I enjoy listening to them.
Yeah.
There's something extra about this album. It's just really great. I think I like it a little bit more than Harvest. I think you said you like Harvest a little more.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's not a surprise that these are the highest ranked Neil Young albums on the list. They're not really, really close together on this list, the Rolling Stone 500 list, that is. Actually, they aren't that far apart. Harvest was 72 and this is 90, so only 18
not too far
spots apart. But I love this album. It's really
good
great.
One.
I I think I'm going, this is, I've done this once or twice. I have a copy of this. I found it at the thrift store on vinyl. I think I'm going to try get another copy because it's pretty, pretty rough. Like it's quite scratchy, very staticky. Although I've listened to it a few times because I just love it so much. I even put up with some of the poor sonic quality.
Reminds me of the band's Brown album. I've got a scratchy copy of that that I just keep playing.
I'll put it on even though it's not excellent quality. I love listening. Like, I could about it,
perhaps, I guess.
Well, I could listen to it on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
And it would sound clear. But I love spinning it. So anyways, that's our top 10.
Yeah. Now the big question is, did either of us feel strongly enough about any near the top to move them over or not near the top? Maybe there's an album that you think is deserving that was further down your list. Sometimes that's happened too.
So there's two questions here. Do any of these albums enter our top 10? And if not, did the top 10 change at all?
Yeah.
So we'll look at that. I can say for me, I didn't change anything.
Well, did you change anything, Ben? So that makes it pretty easy.
Yeah. If there was one album I would put, it would be maybe After the Gold Rush.
Okay.
And we've had that a few times where we've had like the number one album from that 10 have been like, oh, it was really good, but not quite as good as these other ones. And I mean, maybe, you know, they're the top 50 albums, top 60 or whatever. I'm not sure what our lowest ranked album in our overall top 10 is. I've got Dark Side, which I think was 55 on this version, which might be the lowest ranked out of either of our overall top 10.
Yeah, perhaps.
I think. I'm not sure where... no, Inner Visions is quite high.
Mine hasn't changed in three or four of these rundowns. So, yeah, it's been a little while since I don't think
mine's changed much either. Okay, so I'll go through mine from 10. Are You Experienced? Jimi Hendrix Experience. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The Beatles. Carole King's Tapestry. Zeppelin 4, or self-titled Zeppelin, or Zozo, whatever you want to call it. Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. My number 5th favorite is the band's Brown album, self-titled album. Then we have Abbey Road by the Beatles. Joni Mitchell's Blue. My 2nd favorite of all time is Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Just celebrated 50th anniversary in the last month or so. And my number 1 of all time that we've listened to so far is the Beatles' Revolver.
It's amazing to me that after 90 albums, we still have 5 that are the same in these lists. The other 5 are quite different. I'll also start at my number 10 choice and move up.
And I have 3 Beatles albums still. Yeah, so yeah. Part of me goes, yeah, the Beatles, they're so good. And part of me goes, wow, Mike, it's not very diverse.
Yeah. I've got Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions at number 10, Carole King's Tapestry, the band's self-titled Brown album, Springsteen's Born to Run, Beach Boys' Pet Sounds, Beatles' Abbey Road, Fleetwood Mac Rumors, Joni Mitchell's Blue, Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, and Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life is my number 1 album. I've been skimming down this next group of 10. I'm really excited about. There's only one that we've tackled far, which is music from Big Pink.
Oh, that's a good album. I just listened to that album the other day.
I did too. And I thought, holy moly. It's deserving of being a top 10 album. The other one that
it might be.
So many people love who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s, I guess, for some people. REM's Automatic for the People. Okay. If I was in college, I would have said that's probably my top 5. So I'm curious how I feel about that after we get through these 10 and if it makes it in. Anything stand out to you from these this next group of 10?
Well, I've started listening to it. To some of the first albums. You just mentioned Born to Run, Springsteen, is I think your seventh favorite. We're doing another Spring Seed, Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm excited to tackle Missy Elliott's Super Duper Fly because we've done a good number of hip hop artists from the 90s so far. I would not have expected a Missy Elliott album to be in the top 100. She's a great hip hop artist and has done, I think, a lot more notable stuff, maybe a little later in her career, like into the 2000s.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have put her in the same group as some of the other sure. heavy hitters in hip hop, like Kanye, Jay-Z, Kendrick, Biggie, Nas, you know, some of those, I wouldn't have done that. I just from my understanding of where she fits in the zeitgeist of hip hop from the 90s. So, I just find that very, very interesting. This list came out in 2020. Okay.
Yeah.
But last year in 2022, when Stranger Things season 4 came out, it really catapulted a few artists to the top of the streaming charts. One we've already reviewed a little while ago, which was Kate Bush's
Hounds of Love,
which that was, man, was that a, when was that? We did that. Okay. It was number 68. So a little while ago, but we did it just before that happened and I'm glad. So it didn't seem like we were jumping on a bandwagon, although we would have done it when we got to it, no matter what, but because of running up that hill, it just catapulted that song and her back into the spotlight. In the same way, Master of Puppets by Metallica. So we're that song, and then we're reviewing that. That's the title track of the album we're reviewing. So that's kind of, I'm sure we'll talk about this kind of culturally how that, went to the top of the streaming list because it was featured in that, in that series. Right. So, and then, one more artist, because my wife and my daughter, and really all of us here in our house, are such huge fans. We're doing our first Taylor Swift album.
Yeah,
it's really cool that she's getting recognition on this list. She just cracks the top 100 by two spots at number 99 with her Red album. And I don't know if you know this, Ben, Taylor Swift in the last few years has started re-releasing her first six albums. Did you know this?
Are they Taylor's versions? I know she likes to do that with her albums that she puts out.
We'll talk about that more. Okay. And we are going to have a very enthusiastic young guest join us.
Good. Maybe two.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, we are going to have one for sure. When I asked my daughter, she didn't even let me finish the sentence.
Oh, good.
She wants to join us. There was a rights and ownership dispute with her and her former label, and I won't get into all of it now, but her way around this, owning her music again, is she started re-recording it so that even though she can play the songs and she wrote them, she doesn't own them. But these new recordings, she does own
them. Wow, that's so fascinating. Wow, I can't
wait to dig in. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think... Without researching it, I don't think I've heard of this happening before, at least not with full albums, because it was her first six albums.
And yeah, well, and it makes me wonder, which one do we review?
Yeah, very, and we're going to talk about that. Our guest will be more than pleased to talk about that.
Good.
So that's really exciting, too. I'm just looking at the list here, and the list we have just has the... let me just switch to our other list here. So we've got a couple I've never heard of. I guess I haven't asked you. What are you? I've been rambling for like 5 minutes. What are you looking forward?
Looking forward to revisiting Automatic for the People, an album I've loved for a very long time. I'm also excited by Taylor Swift because even though I know a lot of her music, I don't really know any of her albums terribly intimately.
Okay.
So that'll be good too. The one that I have started listening to that has really thrown me a curveball is the Hendrix album, Axis Bold as Love, is experimental in a way that I was not anticipating. I should have been, we started out with one that felt very familiar. Then we moved to
Electric Ladyland,
which was far more experimental. And now we get to this, which feels like another step on the journey. So that one will be interesting to talk about. And I think we've got a couple of guests in addition to your incredible child for this grouping of albums that should make this a fun stretch.
Yeah, there's a couple that I'll be in totally uncharted waters, which is Funhouse by the Stooges. I don't even think I could name a Stooges song.
No,
embarrassingly. Car Wheels on a Gravel Road by Lucinda Williams. Again,
yeah,
totally not familiar. And I know some singles, but I don't think I've ever listened to a Drake album. So we're gonna review. Take Another Care by Canadian, Drake. A Canadian edition. Artist. Yep. Yeah. So two, if you include the band, four fifths of the band are Canadian. Two Canadian artists on this 10.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened in a while.
No.
If ever.
No. We should also say, usually we group our albums in our seasons into 20. And we really would like to get to these as soon as possible. But if you are an astute listener, you may have noticed that my voice was pretty crackly on our last review of After the Gold Rush. That's because I was recovering from COVID, which canceled at least a week of recording, which means we're a little behind here now in our release schedule. So we'll see how long it takes us to start publishing these again, but we're going to keep recording as soon as possible so that we don't lose too much time.
Yeah, we're still going, but it might be a week or two break, just so that we can get a little bit ahead of it. But yeah, it won't be like what we normally will take, maybe 4 to 48 weeks between 20, a group of 20, and then we'll take a break.
Yeah,
we'll get back into it pretty quick.
We hope. We hope. But it's been fun, Mike. I'm glad we got another decade knocked
really
out,
this.
And this was a good group of albums. One that I think we were both a little unsure of what to expect, and I'm glad.
Yeah, me too. I was unfamiliar with some of them, but it was a lot of fun.
Great.
So what is the first album we're reviewing when we come back?
So we'll arrive back with number 91 on the list, Darkness on the Edge of Town by Bruce Springsteen. That should be a good one.
Looking forward to that and talking to you and our special guest on that one. Until that time, we hope you continue to be well. We hope you take care of yourselves and those around you. And we certainly hope you'll join us again right here on the SoundLogic Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care. If you like what you hear, subscribe on your favorite podcast app and write a review.
Send us a message at our Facebook page, on Instagram, or through our SoundLogic Podcast Twitter feed. Thanks for listening.